Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As Mother Mukhi said, Kalyapani Prabhu has asked me to give a short introduction to the play we're going to see in a few minutes. It's about old age. I guess he picked me for some reason. I don't know. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in 1947 to the famous, beloved Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi, which reads as follows. Anyway, as I am your very old friend, although unknown to you, I am again writing to you in order to bring you to the rightful position deserved by you. As a sincere friend, I must not deviate from my duty towards a friend like your good self. I tell you as a sincere friend that you must immediately retire from active politics if you do not desire to die an inglorious death. You have 125 years to live as you have desired to live, but if you die an inglorious death, it is no worth. The honor and prestige that you have obtained during the course of your present lifetime were not possible to be obtained by anyone else within living memory. But you must know that all these honors and prestiges were false, inasmuch as they were created by the illusory energy of Godhead called Maya. By this falsity, I do not mean to say that your so many friends were false to you, nor you false to them. By this falsity, I mean illusion, or in other words, the false friendship and honors obtained thereby were but creation of Maya, and therefore they are always temporary or false, as you may call it. But none of you, neither your friends nor yourself, know this truth. Now, by the grace of God, that illusion is going to be cleared, and thus your faithful friends like Acharya Kripalini and others are accusing you for your inability at the present moment to give them any practical program of work, as you happen to give them during your glorious days of non-cooperation movement. So you're also in a plight to find out a proper solution for the present political tangle created by your opponents. You should therefore take a note of warning from your insignificant friend like me that unless you retire timely from politics and engage yourself 100% in the preaching work of Bhagavad Gita, which is the real function of the Mahatmas, you shall have to meet with such inglorious deaths as Mussolini, Hitler's, Tojo, Churchill, or Lloyd George's met with. Less than 2 months later, Gandhi was assassinated. So this letter reads as a prophecy, and how pertinent it is to all of us, especially us baby boomers, the first generation of Prabhupada's disciples, now entering 60s, 70s. Srila Prabhupada used to speak lightly about his old age. He once held out his arm like this and said, "I used to be very stout and strong. Now it is flat tire." He asked to die on the battlefield. That was Prabhupada's request. "Don't take me to the hospital," he said. "Let me die on the battlefield like Arjuna. This is my desire." From this letter, from Srila Prabhupada's life, we can understand what is the actual duty of a human being on the verge of death. Indeed, this is the whole subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the play we're going to see tonight is on this point. It is describing the very pitiful condition of someone who neglects to prepare themselves for the end of life. In this world, there are four miseries. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So tonight we're focused on Jara. Old age. So it is said that in this world, misery is compulsory, but suffering is optional. The miseries will be imposed on us, but how we respond to them is up to us. If we understand properly how to be prepared for death, how to be prepared for old age, as our faculties begin to diminish, as our physical abilities begin to diminish, then we'll be in a state of mind where we can greet death and leave this body without trying to hold on. This is the most pathetic thing. when an old person is trying to hold on to something that he or she cannot hold on to. So much suffering as a result of that attachment. Huh? My father was a hospital administrator, and he worked in the same hospital for 35 years as the chief administrator. And finally, about he was age 70 or so, they created a new position for him just so he could move on. And the new man came in. But my father, it just drove him nuts. He couldn't stand to watch this younger man doing his job. He had to always be correcting. See? So until I saw this with my own eyes, how miserable he was, how difficult it was, and how he was completely unhappy until he just finally quit and went on to something else. So similarly, we are all feeling some bubble of security in our lives to one extent or another, in our homes, in our families, in our retirement funds, in our health care. These things are important, of course. They're a responsibility. But they're all going to be gone very soon, aren't they? So if we're trying to hold on to them, if we're not ready to turn them over, they will be sources of suffering, compounding the misery. There's a beautiful section in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayer or the song of the Avanti Brahman. So this gentleman was a very successful person in his community, and through circumstances he lost everything, and then he became a mendicant, and people ridiculed him. They thought he was just a fake. They belittled him in so many ways. So after suffering the loss of all of his possessions, after suffering the loss of his prestige and good reputation, he came to a very profound conclusion. He said, these people who are harassing me, they're not the cause of my suffering, nor are the planets, the demigods, the modes of nature. None of this is causing me suffering. Only one thing is causing my suffering, and what is that? His mind, yes. So to fix the mind on Krishna and prepare for leaving this body, this is the whole goal of human life, as we all know from Bhagavad Gita. Now, Srila Prabhupada showed by his example that he was prepared, he established this wonderful worldwide society of devotees, and then he turned it over to his disciples. He established a governing body commission. He said, now I want to retire and just write. And he trained them. When they made a bad decision, he disbanded them. Then he reorganized them and let them try again. This is the ideal example. Not holding on. He did not think, no, everything depends on me. It can't go on without me. He was just eager to completely immerse himself in spiritual life. This is the proper mood and example. So as the Avanti Brahman said, if we understand the nature of our mind, then we can avoid the suffering that otherwise will come with the misery. My daughter-in-law is a physical therapist and works with the elderly, and she told me something interesting once. She said, I often ask my clients, what was the best decade of your life? Anyone know? She said, almost invariably they say the same thing, these older people. Anyone take a guess? 50 to 60. Why? Because you have your faculties, and to some extent, and then you have decades of experience with which to apply them. But after that, it's time to start looking ahead. Otherwise, the future is always uncertain and always a source of suffering. So in tonight's play, we'll see this wonderful example from Srimad Bhagavatam's first canto of how miserable or how much suffering comes upon a person who refuses to acknowledge this ultimate goal of human life. We'll also see how kind his dear brother is to him to shake him from this illusion and how it does not come easily. So there are five personalities in tonight's play. One of them, of course, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who's here only in the sign form. He is the rightful ruler of the kingdom who lost it in a game of dice and then later regained it in a huge war. The primary personality in the play this evening is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra means one who is dhrita, determined, rashtra, to rule. So Dhritarashtra would have been the king as the elder son of the previous king, but he was born blind. In the Vedic culture, the king must be able to lead the troops personally into battle. He cannot be afflicted by blindness or bone spurs or some other serious infliction. So Dhritarashtra suffered through his life this sad position of wanting to rule but being unqualified to rule, of seeing or understanding others around him having this opportunity that he lacked. The actual rightful heir of the throne was Yudhisthira. But Yudhisthira was underage, so Dhritarashtra became the caretaker king for a while, and he enjoyed the position of ruling. His very chaste wife, Gandhari, is the second central personality in tonight's play. She was so faithful to her husband that when she learned he was to be her husband, she covered her eyes with a blindfold so as not to be superior in any way to her prospective husband. And she wore that blindfold for the rest of her life. The third person is their, or the next person rather, is their son. Their Gandhari and Dhritarashtra's son was named Duryodhana. So Duryodhana, when he was born, he brayed like an ass. The sages present who saw this said, this child should be killed immediately. But the mother and father said, no, we can't. So he indeed turned out to be most crooked. And it was because of his personal ambition to capture Yudhisthira's throne and his ability to manipulate his spiritually and materially blind father, Dhritarashtra, that the entire war took place and millions of men were killed. So Duryodhana was also killed in this battle, along with all of his brothers. So Gandhari and Dhritarashtra had to endure this miserable situation where they lost all of their sons in a battle which Dhritarashtra could have prevented. Psychologists have something called dissociative behavior, in which one's actions are so painful, he or she has to create a separate reality to avoid experiencing the pain of the actual condition. So Dhritarashtra is in this frame of mind, thinking himself very important. Yudhisthira, the saint, is saintly king, is very kind to his uncle. And he supports him and cares for him and keeps him feeling important and involved, although, in fact, he has virtually nothing to contribute and is simply living in the palace because he doesn't know what else to do. He's living in the palace of his nephews who defeated and killed all of his own sons in the war. A very pathetic position. So knowing this about his brother, our final personality who will be in the play is Vidura. Vidura means one who is very skilled or very intelligent. And indeed, this is his quality. He comes after being away on pilgrimage for decades. He comes back to the palace and comes ostensibly to see his cousins, or his nephews rather, the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and his brothers. But covertly, he's there to try to rescue his aging brother from his pathetic condition. So this is our drama this evening, taken from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if we can begin, Kalyapani and troops, Dhritarashtra quits home.
Thank you. evam griheshu saktanam pramottanam tadihaya atyakramad vigyata kala paramadustaraha. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Easy, easy boy, easy. Yes, Abu, you may go and see the elephants.
My dear king!
Duryodhan? Is that you? Son, do not engage in dice play! Your uncle Vidura does not like it.
My dear king, it is I.
Oh, Vidura, is that you?
Yes, yes, your majesty.
I told him not to engage in dice playing. I told him to...
I remember, your majesty. I remember.
Yeah, but he did not listen, and now he's gone. The rope gone, haven't they, Vidura?
Yes, yes, your majesty.
Oh, but Vidura, you're here again.
Yes.
It's Vidura. I've not had your company for so long.
I've been away.
Where?
Where the hills... The air, the orchards, rivers, and lakes are all pure and sinless. And where the forms of the unlimited Lord decorate the temples.
So, the unlimited has form?
Had he not, he would not be unlimited.
That is so. And what was your engagement?
Activities to please the Supreme Lord Hari.
Activities to please the... In which holy places?
Dwarka.
Dwarka? And where else?
Mathura.
Mathura. And then?
Ayodhya.
Then again?
Ayodhya. Your Majesty must remember the pastimes of Lord Sri Ramachandra.
Oh, yes.
Those pastimes, I will never forget. Such treachery was there.
Treachery. To whom?
To Lord Ramachandra, of course. His own so-called family members turned against him. But they were exposed and severely chastised. Yes, my brother. I have traversed the globe to many, many secret places.
But Vidura, you are yourself a holy place.
No, my brother.
Oh, yes. I've heard Yudhisthira say that. And you know, he cannot speak something false. He said, Bhagavadvidha Bhagavatas. Tirtha Bhuta Swayamavibho. He said, Yudhisthira, he said, Vidura, you are a veritable place of pilgrimage, a dharma Kshetra. Oh, my sons! My son. Forgive me, Vidura. It seems so long since you were here, Vidura.
It is years.
Oh, how many years?
15, Your Majesty.
That long? How could I live that long without my sons? I remember that day. That day. I asked Sanjaya. He beheld the battlefield with mystic vision. I said, "Oh, Sanjaya, after assembling at that place of pilgrimage, Kurukshetra, what did my sons and those fearsome sons of Pandu, being desirous to fight, what do they do?" And then Sanjaya said, "The mighty son of Pandu hesitates to fight. But then, Sri Krishna, oh Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, he spoke such exalted words as Sanjaya had never heard before, hearing which caused his hair to stand on end. And then he told me, he said, 'Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will be opulence.'" Yes, morality, extraordinary power, and victory. Vidura, when he said that, the passage of time ceased for me. Ah, sweet victory. But our sons had not Krishna and Arjuna on their side.
O King, you can yet have victory.
Do not mock me. He mocks me.
No. You can be victorious. Oh, you cannot hear me.
Yes, I hear, but I cannot believe.
Oh, no? Have I ever misled you? Your Majesty, please listen to me.
Majesty. My Majesty is long gone. Indeed, I shall soon be gone from this world and what is my destination?
But with Krishna and Arjuna on your side.
With Krishna and Arjuna on my... But victory?
Yes, victory.
How is that?
My dear brother, please get out of here immediately.
What?
Do not delay.
But I am king here. You just ask Yudhisthira. He's always dependent on me.
Oh, just see, Your Majesty, how fear has overcome you.
But we are well protected here.
Well protected. Huh, yes, well protected. A very deep, dark well protects you, Your Majesty. But it would be well to consider the sublime wealth of vacating this illusory pit you're in.
Vidura. What is that wealth?
It is the wealth of the renounced order. The wealth of detachment.
Yudhishthira! Yudhishthira!
Well protected, but not from fear. This frightful situation that you're in cannot be remedied by anyone in this world, my lord. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as eternal time, approaches us all. Anyone under the influence of eternal time must surrender his dear life. What to speak of wealth, land, children, home.
Not me, Vidura.
Not you?
No, not His Imperial Majesty, Vidura.
Don't you see? Your father, brother, well-wishers, and sons have all passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now old and invalid, and you're living at the mercy of your son's enemies. You have no eyesight. Your hearing gone. Memory gone. Intelligence gone. Your teeth are loose. Liver defective, coughing up mucus. Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue this life? You are living just like a household dog.
No!
Eating the remnants of food from the plains of Bhimasena. You killed all your sons.
No more, Vidura. Please, have mercy.
This is my mercy. There is no need to live a degraded life, subsisting on the charity of those you tried to kill by poison and arsoning. Despite your desire to continue this life, even at the cost of honor and prestige, this, your miserly body, will dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment.
Vidura, where in all this is victory, Vidura? Where?
It is here, my brother. He is called Dhira, who goes to an unknown, secluded place, and there, free from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. He is a first-class man who awakens and understands the falsity and misery of this material world, and then leaves home and fully surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. Please, therefore, secretly leave for the north immediately. For soon the age of Kali will diminish all good qualities in man.
I am fallen, Vidura. I am fallen.
dear brother, just concentrate your mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Oh, there are many saviors, Ma Maheshwar, but their positions as saviors is dependent on the grace of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the source of all saviors. If you recite Krishna's holy name, that name will arise within your heart like the powerful sun and dissipate the hobgoblins of trepidation and doubt. You should always think of Krishna, so that volumes of contamination within your heart can be washed away.
Yes. Yes. Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Oh, my brother. Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Maharaj Dhritarashtra, I bid you adieu. Jai Shri Krishna. My brother, I am ready. Dear Gandhari, this would be our final journey. My brother, lead us!
Ganga is Gopal. Toshi Rani is Gandhari. Nirli Gopal is Gudura. And Kaliya Pani Prabhu, producer, is Gudurashtra.
Thank you very much. I'd like to give a special thanks to some people who assisted with this production, namely our two expert makeup artists, Mikanda and Jayanti. Also Mahabodhi Prabhu on the sound, on the music. Give the sound through on the sound. And Dr. Lowe can help with the direction. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mahaprasad ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.